Okay, we'll begin this morning. You know, I don't know about you. Actually, this morning, my sense, you know, preparing for this, I just want to be here this whole weekend just loving the Lord Jesus. My sense was, okay, you can prepare all this stuff, but I was just realizing in fellowship last night with the brothers, Lord, as we're here, I want to be just those loving you.
Amen.
You know, we're hearing about the church, the ground of the church, but Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Okay, last night we heard about a battle, right? And I was very touched that in the universe, there's a battle. God creates, but Satan comes in right away, you know, but, right? You know, but praise the Lord, our God does not say whatever.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Our God does not give up.
Right.
And eventually, I was so touched considering this morning, eventually, he doesn't give up because there's something deep within his heart. And I realize he's desiring to gain a bride.
Amen.
It's not that he's just a determined God. There is something that he desires deep in his heart.
Amen.
And he is going to gain it.
Amen.
So I was just considering, you know, as well as this is a story, right, we're going through this weekend of a battle, it's also a story of love. They're just motivating our God to keep pressing forward.
Amen.
Even on my senses, this conference is part of that love story.
Right.
He's desiring to gain the bride he's after.
Amen.
And he loves us. He loves the church. And his desire that we would love him.
Amen.
So hopefully we're here as those loving Jesus.
Amen.
But I realize, you know, to love God, we have to be those who desire to know him. You want to, you know, love someone, you got to know them, right? Spend time and know who they are.
Yeah.
So what we're going to be talking about this morning is concerning, really, it really boils down to who our God is. In his nature, and in his essence,
Amen.
And the way he does things. And that has all to do with the matter of oneness.
Amen.
Our God is one. Right?
Amen.
So actually, why don't we all begin just by declaring boldly the title all together? Oneness! Why don't we do it this side, from here on out, just declare it.
Oneness!
One. This side.
Oneness!
This side.
Oneness!
This side.
Oneness!
All together.
Oneness!
Okay, very good. Hopefully that stays with you. That oneness is what's on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
And actually, it's his very nature. Okay. So we're going to begin, you know, this matter of oneness begins with God, who God himself is, right? It's who he is. And I appreciate it. It's not in here, but the verse that always comes to me when it talks about God being one is actually a verse in the Old Testament. It's Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, "Hear, O Israel, Jehovah is our God." Jehovah is our God.
Amen.
And what does it say? Jehovah is one. Jehovah is one, right? So that shows clearly, without a doubt, we can have the full backing of the scripture. Not from what someone told us in truth school, not from what someone, a certain one told us, but the Bible tells us,
right.
God is one.
Amen.
Right? Amen? We are those who believe in the Word of God.
Right.
Right? Hallelujah for the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay. But also, let's read 1 Corinthians 8:4 together. But one. Hallelujah. No God but one. Also, we appreciate, I just love these verses we just read. One God.
Amen.
And Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But, you know, you may ask me, but I thought God is triune. That's correct. What we're referring to is what he is in his nature and his essence. We only have one God. In his economy, in his doing things, carry out his economy, he acts as the Father, Son, and Spirit. But we do not have three gods. We have one God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. One God. Amen. I don't know why for me this word is so anointed this morning. One God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. Very good. So I just want to hopefully leave you with some impression. It's a very simple point,
Amen.
But it's in the Word,
right.
And nothing will ever shake us.
Yeah.
God is one. Amen. Amen? Amen.
Yeah.
Let me say it all together. God is one. God is one. Amen. Very good. Hopefully this will really stay with you. Nothing will ever shake you. God is one.
Amen.
Okay. People do things based on your nature. If you are very artistic, you will carry out things in an artistic way. If you're a very considerate person, righteous person, the things you do will end up being what? Righteous. Considerate. I was even considering, wow, the saints, I know for a fact the saints in Richardson have a heart of love. Right? How do I know that? Because I'm experiencing and then carrying out hospitality.
Yeah.
Full of love.
Amen.
Right? So based on what we are in our nature is how we carry things out.
Sure.
And this also applies to God's nature of oneness. In the universe, according to our fellowship this morning, there are four great acts carried out by God. And I'll summarize them really quickly. The first is creation. Second, he's a selection. The third is the new creation, and eventually ends up in the new Jerusalem. And in all these things God was doing, right? We see, actually, contrary to our logic, actually, our natural mind, boy, doesn't one? I mean, what's he doing?
Yeah.
But he's just acting. He's just constrained by the principle, by his very nature of oneness. What am I talking about? All right, let's read two all together. Amen. So God is acting, and in these acts, we see the matter of oneness. So the first one is the oneness of God in creation. We mentioned last night, God created. You know, and we know what God was after. He didn't just want a single individual he would baby and kind of like take care of. He wanted a corporate man, right? Because even there, it says it, right? It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. What does it say after that? Let them. Right? Let them.
Right.
Because his view is that he wanted a corporate people.
Amen.
But in his carrying out of gaining that people, he created, listen to this, one man. If it was me and you, I'd have probably done it a different way. Like, similar to the garden. Shazam! Right?
Mm.
1 billion people, done.
Yep.
That's a good baseline, right? Actually, even though if I was with God there, my natural, like, Lord, this is kind of risky, you know? Actually, I kind of know how this plays out. One man, and the enemy's there, you may want to hedge your bets a little bit. That's our natural concept. But even God knowing that, he will constrain himself to the principle, to his very nature of oneness.
Amen.
Right? Even, it didn't turn out so well because the enemy came in, right? And actually, we now see a contrast coming up. Oneness in God's move, the enemy comes in to spoil, then the result of that man eventually becomes the divided nations. God decided to created one man, actually a corporate man. There'll be oneness among men. That was his goal.
Yeah.
But through the fall, there was division. There was fall after fall after fall. And eventually at Babel, the nations came forth. And actually, you think about the nations, these are really hard divisions. very hard. You're from this country. I'm from this country.
Yeah.
When you if you don't travel internationally, you'll really sense it.
Yeah.
You walk up to a border, you realize there's a barrier.
Right, right.
Asking you questions. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
No. How long are you going to be here for?
Mm.
When are you leaving?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah. My money in your bank? So, I mean, you get the point, right? Divisions. That was the result from the fall of man.
Well.
But praise the Lord, our God does not say whatever.
Amen.
He does not give up.
Amen.
He decided to do something and to say, okay, I will gain a nation of people out of these fallen men.
Wow.
But then again, he was constrained by his very nature.
Yeah.
Constrained. Mm. Oneness. Yeah. He goes to call. Hallelujah. Call.
Amen.
Saints, are you being called this morning?
Amen.
You have the Lord's appearing this morning.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, call us out again.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Abraham.
Amen.
Oh, he had the Lord's appearing.
Amen.
I want to have the Lord's appearing.
Amen.
But in God's calling and appearing,
yeah,
he didn't just go, okay, I knew what happened last time. So what I'm going to do this time, I'm going to like call that guy, that guy, that guy, and that guy. No.
Right.
And actually at this point, he's dealing with fallen men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's fallen, injected by his enemy. But guess what he does? He still goes to call one man.
Amen.
I hope it's impressing you, this matter, or this principle the Lord always operates by.
Yeah.
Oneness.
Amen.
Oneness. He calls one man. And eventually, out of this one man, he gets one people.
Yeah.
One people that are his. But exactly, one nation.
Mm.
But eventually, oh Lord, there's a battle.
Yep. Yeah.
The enemy comes in.
Yeah.
You know, scatters God's people.
Whoa.
Through different situations. What is it, Assyria?
Egypt?
Babylon. But praise the Lord, our God keeps going on.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, so now, praise the Lord, our God came as a man. And he decided to do something. That's the new creation. And that's the church. You think by this time, and you probably know where this is going, right? No. One man in creation. One called person, right? One nation. Now it's time for the church. Right? How many churches? The day of Pentecost. Is it, okay, I'm the Lord Jesus. I'm universally great. The many people all over the world, they need the gospel. I'm going to be efficient about this. At least church, one church in each continent. Come on. That's my concept, right? But no. Our God constrains himself.
Amen.
The principle of oneness.
Amen.
On the day of Pentecost, when the church universe is produced, what do we have there? One church.
Amen.
There again we see it. Oneness in God's act.
Amen.
In producing the new creation.
Amen.
Right? You know, in this book, I wish I could do a better job. It's so awesome. Really just get awesome, just kind of the way he kind of goes through it. If you get some time, I'm not sure we'll sign it, but finish reading chapter 1. Okay, so the enemy comes in again, and we know the story. It kind of hits home a little bit more now, right? So eventually, okay, on the positive side, there's one church, but eventually, you know, out of one church in each city, the church is produced positively. But eventually, among God's people, enemy comes in. Division after division after division. I don't want to count how many divisions they are right now. It's just absurd.
Right.
If you name it, there's a division about it.
Yeah.
And we'll touch a little bit experientially what this is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll read B. The oneness of God in selection, God called one man, Abraham. The oneness of God in the new creation, God produced one church on the day of Pentecost. But eventually, and to me, this is the most touching, because I think if you want to go on in something, you have to see how it ends.
Yeah.
see how it ends, right? At the end of the Bible, there is just one city.
Amen.
All God is doing and all his people, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament,
Amen.
The result is one city.
Amen.
But I was really impressed. In that one city, there's one street, one river,
right.
One tree. What else is there? Right?
One throne.
Right? Right?
One street.
So you see, the oneness, which is in the triune God, moving throughout history,
Amen.
Moving throughout history, culminating in oneness in the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
Anyway, hopefully this leaves you with some impression.
Amen.
Right? Of oneness in God and who he is
Amen.
And the way he acts.
Amen.
Now we're here to be God's expression.
Right.
What would you think he wants? Oneness. Actually, we'll prove it to you very shortly. Okay, I'll read D. The oneness of God in the New Jerusalem. God's purpose is consummated in one new city.
Amen.
That's how it ends, saints. Hallelujah. God's purpose. You know, for me, it's like, man, after millennia, I've done a lot. I'm not sure a few cities are kind of like a little civilization, just kind of. But no. One city. One city. And hopefully this impresses you. It really impressed me. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, now. Oh, Lord. So we're not coming a little down to our situation as his believers in this age. So three, oneness among Christ's believers is of paramount concern to him. Why don't we read A together? Amen. Okay, this to me, saints, it's so impressive.
Yeah.
My brother was sharing with me, you know, if someone is proper, on his deathbed, he's speaking things that are really deep in his heart. You go see someone who's about to die. When you're with them, what comes out is just what really is on their heart.
Amen.
Really, they're not there talking about just light things in a sense. Maybe they would kind of care for you, but really, what comes out is what's really on their heart.
Amen.
So we could see God oneness in God's acts and who he is from the word, but one day the Lord became God became a man, Jesus.
Amen.
And he realized to care for us and the sin, he had to die. And this death was imminent, was coming. And there he is, right? I mean, we know the story of the disciples. Yeah, you know. And he's praying, right, with the Father, having some intimate time, right, with the Father. And to me, I was considering, what would I, you know, just knowing the experience he had with the disciples and what the significance of what they had to go carry out, I would pray things like, Father, you know, these disciples you gave me, they're a little rough. You know Peter, you know how Peter is. He's really rough around the edges. Lord, you know, perfect him. Make sure he kind of gets adjusted. Or John, oh Lord, John and James. What about those ones? But even general, these ones are Galileans. They don't speak very well. Could they get educated better? So they could preach the gospel more effective? But does he mention any of this? No! His main concern, and we'll see it, that they may be one.
Amen.
Amen.
So actually, I was touched by this in my service, in my function, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Above, you know, above getting better at anything, above my learning to be better or to do this and that, we do need to kind of, you know, improve, but far above anything in our function, in our service, the primary matter is the matter of our oneness with the believers.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I hope really this will be inscribed in our being, maybe not just in this message, but over time. Lord Jesus, his heart is for oneness.
Amen.
Right? Okay. John 17, I do not ask concerning these only, but concerning those also who believe into me through their word, So he's not just praying for the disciples, but really effectively he's praying for us. Because over generations, through their word shared, eventually we're here.
Right.
So the prayer back there is, right, if you just consider this. The Lord is about to die, and he's praying, looking at us right now. High schoolers, Father, that they may be one.
Amen.
Wow. That's my point here is to emphasize what's on the Lord's heart. Right? What's on the Lord's heart? That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me.
Amen.
So this oneness has an effect. The matter of the seeing, right, and believing of people outside. And I was touched by this, you know. I don't know how this, you know, is. There is something with being one with others that affects other people. You know, especially when they see you, you know, they're not really naturally the same kind of people. You're in high school, mm-hmm. another sister, who you're not in the same circles, or you know, she's in band, you're in what, you know, whatever. But for the people to see y'all enjoying the Lord together,
Amen.
Or maybe praying together, or even simply just reading the Word together, being one in some, in however little way,
Amen.
There is an impact.
Amen.
You know, there's a work, there's a brother and I, he we come from two different almost universes in a sense, as far as you know, he's born and raised in another country, I'm born and raised in another country, we have lunch every Friday. And we're in the Word together.
Amen.
And we're caring for a particular one. Anyway, we're just going to laugh at ourselves sometimes, like, wow, I wonder what people think. But there is something there.
Amen.
And this is really on the Lord's heart.
Amen.
And actually, out of this oneness, actually, there's one who we're caring for who's going along. Just put aside our, you know, not all the time. I'll tell you a story about that, but... just endeavoring, being diligent
Amen.
To keep the oneness.
Amen.
Right? Okay. Amen. The world may believe he sent me. Anyway, I'll move on. Okay, before he died, he prayed this. The church is God's expression on earth because he is one. The church must be one.
Right.
And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one even as we are one. So just to be clear, this oneness is not our trying and striving to be aligned, to be in sync. This is a oneness that's the same oneness in the triune God.
Right.
And I'll mention it later. This is a oneness in life. Okay, but actually one thing I did want to touch for sure is that even in this prayer, the way to be one, actually this affects our ability, I mean, we can see this, and amen, I want to be one, but you get down to it, not so easy, right? Actually, the Lord kind of knew this, and in this prayer, he actually prayed something related to this. What does it say? John, who knows John 17:17? Sanctify them in the truth.
Amen.
Your word is truth.
Amen.
Actually, it's a little secret. If we're not in the Word, or we're not being sanctified by the Lord speaking, it is hard to be one.
Right.
Actually, the opposite. I find for myself, the more I'm in things that are not sanctified, oh, it's so easy to be divided.
Yeah.
Even just reading the news.
Yeah.
It's particularly reading the news. Yeah. Your mind just goes, division just rises up in your being.
Right.
Even subtly. Why do they think like that? How does people think like that? Right? But the more we come to the Word,
Amen.
The more we come back to the Word,
Amen.
We're enjoying the Word. Actually, just in the speaking, the more there's something that sanctifies our being,
Amen.
That swallows up all the negative germs in our being, and eventually we're able to be one. Actually, when I was in college, I used to be in the brother's house, right? And I didn't know why they did this. Okay, there was one mandate they had. It was pretty relaxed. There's some rules, but brothers was one thing they were very strong about. You know what it is? A house time. Once a week. you need to have a house time with the three brothers you're living with. It's like, okay, sure, I want to enjoy the Lord. After a while, we would not have our house time. Once a week. 1 week would pass, hey man, whatever, I'm busy. 2 weeks would pass. Before I knew it, this brother who I loved, I would not even want to see him. I mean, anything he does just irritates me. He leaves a spoon in the sink. Ay, ay, ay. And I realized, okay, eventually it comes down to it, we need to have a house time.
Amen.
In the house, then what we do, we'll get into the word, pray some verses, yeah, and get into the ministry, and hallelujah, everything is okay. Sanctify them in the truth.
Amen.
So I'll give you some advice I've taken before. Anytime I have any kind of even problem with a sister or a brother particularly that just annoys me a little bit, but I'm with them, I take any opportunity I can to pray with them.
Mm-hmm.
Take any opportunity I can even to pray for them,
yeah,
in a positive way.
Yeah.
Not, Lord, go fix them, Lord. No. They're wrong. Let them know they're wrong. No, just pray with them.
Right.
The more we're in the word, the more we're sanctified, the more oneness is brought in.
Wow.
Okay,
amen.
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 Okay, now, the other part of it is Satan's strategy against the church, the Lord's body. It's the same thing he's been doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing.
Right.
To divide it.
Yeah.
Right? Same thing he's been doing all along. He has one strategy to divide the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? I love these verses. You know, Corinthians is an interesting book, right? First Corinthians. I mean, it was a mess.
Yeah.
It was a hot mess. If you Now I beseech you, brothers, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be attuned. This is chapter 1. Chapter 1, right? Before this, he talks about more pause than calling, you know, fellowship. But he touches these matter of oneness right away,
yeah,
showing you how serious it is, right?
Yeah.
Speak this, what is it? That you be attuned in the same minds, right, in the same opinion, for it has been made clear to me concerning you, my brothers, by those of the house of Chloe, they have strifes among you. Now I mean this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided?
No.
I preached this, I'm sharing, a few years ago. You know, just naturally, our makeup is to use anything to divide us from one another. And it's subtle, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Here, Paul completed the word of God.
Mm.
Is there a problem with Paul? Probably not. Well, there are problems that we're elevating Paul above Christ. Right? Same thing with Apollos. Eventually, even their use of Christ to elevate and to cause a division. I'll tell you a story. So this brother and I at work, where I work, we have lunch every Friday with a new brother. And we had just come back from the semi-annual training. It was awesome. And recently, I've just been impressed, you know, and hopefully this helps you too. You know, we have a lot of terms in the Lord's recovery, and I've been impressed, you know, as you care for a new one, just be careful.
Sure.
For myself, because I just love hallelujah, the triune God, consummated, process. I mean, these are wonderful terms, but to care for some, you don't want to just, you know, plow them over.
Right.
Simple.
Yeah.
I enjoy Jesus today. I appreciate the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, the church, you know, you just kind of be careful. So I've been really appreciating not to use too many terms or explain the terms, that kind of thing. So I've just been really appreciating that. And actually, it's been confirmed because the brother I was caring for is like, yeah, I'm really happy you didn't. Da, 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 da. So amen. So I think the Lord speaking to me, applied it, you know, it's working. Then that's the background. So we come back from the training, and I'm late to this Friday lunch, and I'm probably not in my spirit, let's be honest with you. And I get there, and they're fellowshipping, really enjoying some fellowship. But I started listening to the fellowship, where I was like, oh, I really appreciate the God speaking in his recovery. Oh, the recovery is so awesome. And I'm just there, listening to all these words about recovery and this. And eventually, I just kind of, I mean, my thought is, let's kind of get to some, what do you enjoy? Like, so brother, what did you enjoy? And it wasn't what I said, it was the tone. I'm trying to cut him off. He's just there, simple, enjoying. The speaking was so good. You know, I appreciate the training. It's like all these bombs for me, words that are kind of just, you know, different to people. And I say, brother, what did you enjoy? I thought it was okay. I'm right. You know, just cut it off. Let's get into the real enjoyments. Da 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 da. And you know what happens? I get checked because that new one says, why don't we pray? Oh, Lord, my spirit. What had happened there, and I realized I had this thing that had been touched by the Lord and helped and was helpful to others became a cause of division.
Wow.
And the testimony really at that point was lost.
Mm.
I wasn't one with that brother.
Mm-hmm.
I should echo, yeah, the Lord speaking is so rich.
Yeah.
We're blessed.
Yeah.
to be in the training.
Yeah.
Now, what did you enjoy? Actually, even our tone, even when we say something that positive and healthy, can be a cause of division.
Yeah.
The Lord may really touch you with something, and maybe, you know, Zeke will share about this a little bit. We couldn't make that thing that the Lord has touched us with a cause of division, cause us to despise another one.
Yeah.
They don't see that. Let me correct them. Actually, what the Lord cares most about is that there'll be fellowship in oneness.
Amen.
Amen. Actually, this extends even to, it just extends not just out to the church life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his thought is, he needs to say that they all in the Lord's recovery may be one. He didn't draw that circle, no. His heart, it may not be worked out practically because just where believers are, but our Lord's heart is that they all may be one.
Amen.
And I was fellowship with the brethren, this should really affect how open we are in our fellowship with other believers and caring for them.
Yeah.
Hopefully this conference does not give you an attitude, and we'll touch this.
Yeah.
Now, how are you on the church ground? I'm right, they're wrong. No. All it is we're on the church ground enjoying God's blessing.
Amen.
And his heart is that all his believers will be on the same ground enjoying the blessing.
Amen.
So our heart is to testify. Oh, we're enjoying God.
Amen.
Even open to what they're enjoying of God, too. It may not be as high, it may not be as rich, but everyone wants to be heard. Actually, the care for them is open. I really enjoy God's love today.
Right.
Maybe something low, but you say, amen.
Right.
Not, God's love. Let me tell you about God's economy. you know your spirit. We have to be careful. That's not the heart in the Lord. Right?
Right.
Don't misunderstand me. There needs to be a clear testimony of the wonderful truths. But even in the way we testify, where we share, there should be a spirit and a broadness in our heart,
yes,
echoing our Lord's desire.
Amen.
That they all may be one.
Amen.
Actually, this secret will help us gain others even in a better way.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Okay. I'll probably finish off, but so the Lord has given us the oneness of the Spirit. So we have this oneness, and where is it? In our spirit.
Amen.
Just so I don't forget this, I was so touched. So, you know, the oneness is not manufactured, it's not artificial. You know, a lot of people, actually organizations, it's all about, you know, being a team building. That's not what we're talking about. Not at all. I mean, this is kind of my job. I got to do this a lot of times is, you know, get the team rowing in this direction. Right, kind of just carry things out, you know, just this and this, but that's not the realm we're in at all.
Yeah.
This is the oneness of the Spirit.
Amen.
So this oneness, saints, to know this oneness, even know what we're talking about here, it's needed that we know our spirit.
Amen.
For this, what do we need? We need to be those who learn to call.
Amen.
Those thoughts rise up in our being to divide us. Oh Lord Jesus,
amen.
I was so happy that brother said, "Can we pray?" I need more ones that I care for like that. This checks me. Can we pray? We prayed. I had to repent inwardly. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But actually, one thing I did want to bring up now is, you know, our spirit is composed of, you know, three parts. One of the key parts of our spirit is our conscience. It's very hard to be one with a brother if there's an offense in our conscience. Actually, it's impossible. You have an offense in your conscience, actually that gives room for the enemy to come in, to divide. Actually, the reason why is because oneness is preserved by life.
Amen.
And if there's a bothering in your conscience, it stops the life from flowing. Right? The example is very obvious about oneness and you know, preserved by life. Maybe Ben, I'll have you come up real quick. You know, it's pretty obvious to everyone that Ben's body is one, right? Because there's life in this body.
Yeah.
And the enemy likes to divide the body, right? That's his strategy. If for some reason I get Ben's hand, right, and I say, Ben, how's it going?
Good.
I want to take off this finger.
No.
No. That's right. Well, what about this little bit of your ear? If he's full of life like he is, and he's conscious, the life within him resists
right. The
members being divided.
Wow.
Thank you, brother.
Right?
It resists
being
divided because there's life in those members. There's feeling in the body.
Yeah.
Same thing. We've all been talking about, not, oh, I want to be one, I'm going to try. First, you have to realize we need the flow of life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, I'd like to remain in the flow.
Amen.
You realize I'm divided. I don't have a, if ever you find yourself, I have zero feeling for those sisters. I don't even want to see them. That's a check right there. I'm not in life. At that time, it's good to call deeply. Lord Jesus, what's going on? Maybe, and then really, that could be a sign that's an offense.
Yeah.
Or maybe even, I haven't been in the Word. I've been on YouTube all day. Or Pinterest. Or whatever, right? Just taking in an unsanctified world. And what happens is division.
Right.
And it's not really obvious. It's like, okay, I'll go to the meeting, but just there, sitting down, no feeling, right? No feeling. But the more we take care of our conscience by confessing, it could be even with our parents. It's like, I don't know what they ask you to do. Help wash the dishes. Actually, for me, I'm realizing even now, my wife, can you help me with the dishes? Oh, Lord. I'm coming. I need to take care of this. You know, of course, you lie sometimes. Like, oh, I got to do this. But taking care of our conscience, that really affects our ability to be in life and our ability to be one with the members.
Amen.
And this not just to be one, because it affects what the Lord desires, his heart. Okay. The oneness is spiritual and inward. It is the oneness of the triune God himself.
Amen.
If we have a problem with a brother or sister, when we turn to the divine spirit in our human spirit, actually, we'll just read through the rest of it. They're very self-explanatory. Why don't we read C together?
If we have a problem with a brother or sister,
I'll just read through and you can share. I'll read through and you can share. Amen. Do you have problems with brothers and sisters sometimes? You need to answer that. I know the answer. Okay. But the problem, again, is we mainly don't live in our spirit.
Yeah.
Actually, the rest of this I'm going to read through because it's very, very clear. I'll maybe just comment here and there. Okay, so what I've been talking about right now, we're kind of making a turn right now a little bit, is just the inward essential aspect of oneness. But the Lord has also given us a visible and practical governing principle to maintain our oneness.
Amen.
And that is the ground of the church. The Lord prayed for a visible oneness, a oneness which the world can see. The world cannot see invisible spiritual oneness, and so needs a testimony. Let's say you're at school, and you're with the other saints in your school, right? Maybe you know, high school. There may be like, let's say, 8 church kids. Some of you have that, maybe. And you never talk to one another. Never fellowship. Just go your own ways. I'm one with those sisters. Would that be impact? Probably not. Because there's no visible oneness. But I know some brothers, and David's not here, in Irving, right? They're high school. They'll get together in the morning, right? And they'll have a time with the Lord. I wish I could just be there just to see it. And the reaction of other high schoolers there. What is this? It's attractive. Anyway. So the same thing to do with the church. The ground of the church was given so there'll be a visible oneness.
Amen.
Okay. Where was I? F or G? The oneness of the Spirit is invisible and spiritual. The ground of locality is visible and practical. And we're going to cover this in detail the rest of the conference. So five, in addition to the essential oneness of the Spirit, the Lord has given us the economical governing principle of the ground of the church. Now, this is huge, and I don't have time to cover it in detail. One church, one city. This is now the heart of this conference, really, at least a major part of the heart of the conference. While we have the essential oneness, as a matter of the one church and one city, is consistent in the New Testament example. Acts 13:1, there were in Antioch, in the local church. What's mentioned there is the city. In 1 Thessalonians 1:1, the church of the Thessalonians.
Amen.
Colossians 4:16, the church of the Laodiceans. And actually, this is just a small snippet. I mean, it's just everywhere,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
Even the beginning of the epistles, right? And in Titus 1:5, appoint elders in every city. And it's not here, it'll be in another message, I believe. The Lord Jesus himself in Revelation, referring to the seven churches. What does he say? It doesn't say that this church and this da-da-da-da-da. It says the city, Ephesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, now the boundary of the church is the boundary of the city. Every believer within the city, no matter the size, should meet as the church in that city.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Doesn't matter how large the city is, there's still only one church.
Right.
So this principle is there. If you're in a city, there's only one church in that city. So we're in Richardson. And the thing about this, and we'll cover it more in detail, is... This is just a preservation for that could be a visible oneness. Because right now there's nothing like that. I mean, mostly in Christianity. I mean, I know this because I have experience in it. Is it's the opposite actually, division. And actually, we have to be on guard ourselves because we know it's division. No, what about ourselves?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, we've seen the truth, and we'll see more of the truth of the ground of the church.
Which
you say, oh, they're not, don't see it. I see it. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I would see it, but also I'll be kept in the genuine oneness.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't matter how large the city is, there's still one church. It doesn't matter how small the city is, it never becomes a mission church under a larger church's auspices and eldership. I was so touched. This is what I'm caring for, and I'm pretty much done now, is... This was a breaking point for us. We prayed for him for over a year and a half. And he's part of this outreach church downtown Dallas. You know, I mean, it's pretty wild, actually. They go out open air. I mean, it's pretty wild. And they have, like, homeless people gathered. And they're there singing, preaching every Sunday. That's, to them, church. And they're passionate lovers of Jesus, lovers of man. I mean, I was put to shame. I'm walking there. I'm like, where am I going? I mean, it's like, it's pretty intense. But eventually, he's been enjoying God's economy and this. It's like, so-and-so. And lunch one-on-one with him one day is like, I never talked to him about this before. He's reading ministry. And says, so what's your vision, what's your view long-term for West End? That's the name of their group. And I was so shepherded by his response. You know, my group is, my view, my hope, my prayer is eventually we'll be brought under the leadership and the headship of the church in Dallas, because it's only one church in one city. I mean, I literally was blown out of my seat. But we're still praying. He doesn't really see it clearly because he's still there. But his hope and his heart is in this matter of one church, one city.
Amen.
How about us? Do we have that view? Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Or we just, oh, I just know it. Anyway, amen. It doesn't matter how many believers there are in a church, it is still one church. Amen.
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 Going to go like 5 more minutes, okay? Maybe less. I'm just going to review real quickly. Okay. So, what's the title?
Oneness.
What's the title?
Oneness.
Oneness. So, what were God's 4 great acts?
Creation,
right?
Selection,
new creation, new Jerusalem, new city. And in those acts, we see God is caring for oneness. So why did God call one man? To keep the oneness. Right? To keep the oneness. He called more than one man, maybe might not have been oneness, because God cares for oneness. Right? Why did he select one man? To keep the oneness. Actually, Abraham didn't listen to him and brought his father, then his father died, they went the wrong way, brought his nephew, and his nephew caused all kinds of problems and persecuted the children of Israel from the end. Because he didn't take care of the oneness. Right? What about, so this is God's principle, one church. One church. God called one church. And out of that one church, there could be many churches, but one beginning, right? One source, one element, one essence. Because God is one. Eventually, all of it consummates in the one new Jerusalem. Right? You know, the new Jerusalem is just like the garden. We got into that yesterday. One tree. One tree in the beginning, and one tree in the end. One river, right? One source, one God. This is God's heart's desire. This is, and we share this matter of oneness because if we don't see this, we'll see things and we could get distracted and not care for the oneness. And we wouldn't realize, well, why is it a problem that there's more than one meeting place in this city? If we don't have a sensitivity, because God cares for oneness. And we'll get into this more, right? And I was just impressed that this oneness has to have a practical outward expression.
Amen.
Hopefully you read this in your reading. There was a little paragraph, right? You should have read it. It was right before the end of the reading. We have to see that just like a man has an inward life, which is the matter of the spirit, right? We have a spirit. Our spirit is one. And even as I'm enjoying from this last training, we can meet with oneness in God because of the sprinkled blood. We have a place. But practically, I can be enjoying the Lord, but am I one with my wife? About washing the dishes? Right? Anyway, are we one with our parents? Are we one with, anyway, the other sisters? There has to be a practical expression of this intrinsic oneness. We have oneness in our spirit, and we'll touch this some more, but there has to be a practical expression. So God has a way.
Amen.
He called one man, you know, in his selection. But, you know, even in that one man, he wanted one place. He told them, I'm going to choose a place. You'll see eventually, we'll get into this. Where was that place? It was Jerusalem.
Amen.
But when they first got called, Abraham didn't know. He was wandering around because God hadn't told him yet. Eventually, through David, I was enjoying last night looking at the verses, David took Zion. That was the same place, Moriah. But I don't know if he knew the history or not, but eventually there's a verse that says, on Mount Moriah, Solomon built the temple on the threshing floor of Ornan, who David had took Zion and then he bought the land. So God had a place, a certain particular spot that he wanted to gain. This is because God cares outwardly that all his people would be one. He's one, but he cares that they would be one. There would be one expression, one house, one city. Eventually, this is the new Jerusalem, the consummation of everything we are. So may we all appreciate and care for oneness. We'll get into all these matters in a little bit more and more detail. Again, this is a novel, right? We got our cast of characters last night. We got the conflict, and now we're touching the beginning.
Amen.
There's a theme. The theme. The theme of the ground of the church is oneness. The theme is not we're right and they're wrong. I hope you wouldn't take that. Our view is we want to be one with all those who, right? What did it say? And I really was touched by this in John 17, the verse there, right? Those who also who believe into me through their word. All the Lord desires that all those who believe into him would be one.
Amen.
Well, how practically is that carried out? That's what we're going to get into.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to take a break right now. Should we take a 10-minute break? Schedule's off a little bit. We're supposed to end right at 11, but let's take a 10-minute break. So, you know, about 11:20, start to come back, okay? And we'll maybe sing a little bit and then get into it. Amen?